Rome issued a decree of excommunication against the Society of St. Pius X for their episcopal consecrations that occurred on July 1st, 2026. I want to give my initial thoughts on all this because I don't think this is substantially different from the decree of 1988, other than the priests and religious of the society are mentioned explicitly as excommunicated, whereas in 1988, they were not. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, you can do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are anonymous. You can also like and follow me on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. My first book, Until the Last Penny, is available both in ebook and paperback form. It's a fictional story of a soul's journey through purgatory, and it is unapologetically Catholic. You can get your copy by clicking the link in the description. The faithful are considered schismatic and excommunicated under the conditions established in the explanatory note of the Pontifical Council for Legislative Texts of 1996, according to the decree that was put out today, which were set to determine who is excommunicated for adhering to the 1988 supposed schism. So, as far as the laity is concerned, there is no difference between now and 1988. They're just using harsher language here. That's my take on it. But let's get into all this. The decree issued July 2nd by Cardinal Fernandez concerning the excommunications of the Society of St. Pius X says, despite the warnings addressed to the Superior General of the Priestly Society of St. Pius X, Bishop Alphonse de Galarreta, having committed an act of a schismatic nature through the episcopal consecration of four priests without a pontifical mandate and against the will of the Supreme Pontiff, has ipso facto incurred the penalties provided by Canon Law 1387 and Canon 1364. 1387 says, both the bishop who, without pontifical mandate, consecrates a person, a bishop, and the one who receives a consecration from him, incur a laete sententia, excommunication, reserved to the apostolic see. Canon 1364 says, an apostate from the faith, a heretic or a schismatic, incurs a laete sententia excommunication without prejudice to the provisions of Canon 194. I therefore declare for all legal purposes that both the aforementioned Bishop Alphonse de Galarreta and Pascal Schreiber, Michael Goldaddy, Michael Ponceta de Sivra, and Mark Hanapierre have incurred ipso facto the laete sententia excommunication reserved to the Apostolic See. I further declare that Bishop Bernard Fillet, having directly participated in the liturgical celebration as a co-consecrator, thus publicly adhering to the schismatic act, has incurred a laete sententia excommunication provided for by Canon 1364. Clerics and lay faithful are warned not to adhere to the schism of the Priestly Society of St. Pius X, because they would ipso facto incur the penalty of laete sententia excommunication. So far, nothing different than was declared in 1988. However, let's look at the explanatory note along with this declaration. And we're just going to look at the meat and potatoes, not all the fluff. The explanatory note says, the sacred ministers belonging to the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X are in schism and must therefore be considered schismatic. It refers to the explanatory note on the excommunication for schism incurred by the adherents of the movement, Bishop Marcel Lefebvre of 1996, resulting in them being subject to excommunication by Canon Law 1364. As regards the lay faithful, those who formally adhere to the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X under the conditions established in the explanatory note of 1996, still in force, which this dicastery adopts, are to be considered schismatic and excommunicated. 3. Finally, the holy people of God are warned that the sacred ministers of the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X administer the sacraments illicitly, and that the sacrament of penance administered by them and the marriage assisted by them are invalid. So, the faculties for confession and marriage that were given by Pope Francis to the Society of St. Pius X have been revoked, and we are back to supplied jurisdiction, which I am working on a video going over that. I'm also kind of waiting for the SSPX to respond to all of this. So formal adherence to the schism causes excommunication for the faithful. And it looks like this is also the condition for priests as well, because in the section of the explanatory note, it refers to the same 1996 explanatory note for guidance on who formally adheres to the schism. So let's look at that, the 1996 explanatory note. And again, we're just going to look at the meat and potatoes. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. The important section starts at point five. It says, as stated in the motu proprio, which he's talking about, Ecclesia Dei Afflicta in 1988, laetae sententia excommunication for schism concerns those who formally adhere to the said schismatic movement. Although the question regarding the exact scope of the notion of formal adherence to the schism should be referred to the competent congregation for the doctrine of faith. So Fernandez points to this as the explanation, which says that he is the one who should be explaining it. So nobody wants to define what formal adherence to the schism actually means. And as you will see, this document that supposedly clarifies it is clear as mud. But anyway, it seems to this pontifical council that such adherence must imply two complementary elements. A, one of an internal nature consisting in freely consciously sharing the substance of the schism, that is, in opting in such a way for the followers of Lefebvre that this option is placed above obedience to the Pope. At the root of this attitude, there will usually be positions contrary to the magisterium of the Church. Now remember, the magisterium is not just the current pope and bishops. It's the whole perennial tradition and teaching of the Church with which the society does adhere to. B, another of an external nature consisting in the externalization of that option, the most evident sign of which will be the exclusive participation in the Lefebvrian ecclesial acts without taking part in the acts of the Catholic Church. This is, however, a non-univocal sign, so there is the possibility that some faithful may take part in the liturgical functions of Lefebvre's followers without sharing their schismatic spirit. Okay, so here they want to say that people who only go to the SSPX for sacraments, only go there for Mass and confession, etc., they're the ones who are excommunicated, but then they really can't say that. So they leave this provision, well, but some might not have it in their spirit, blah, 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 blah. Point six. In the case of the Lefebvrian deacons and priests, it seems clear that their ministerial activity within the schismatic movement is more than evident sign that the two requirements mentioned above are met and that there is, therefore, a formal adherence. Point seven. In the case of other faithful, however, it is obvious that occasional participation in liturgical acts or activities of the Lefebvrian movement, without adopting the movement's attitude of doctrinal and disciplinary disunity, is not sufficient to constitute formal membership in the movement. In pastoral practice, it may be more difficult to assess their situation. It is necessary to take into account, above all, the individual's intention and the translation of this interior disposition into action. The various situations must therefore be assessed on a case-by-case basis in the competent bodies of the external-internal forums. 8. However, it will always be necessary to distinguish the moral question of whether or not the sin of schism exists from the juridical penal question of whether the crime of schism exists and his consequent sanction to the latter the provisions of Book 4 in the Code of Canon Law, Canons 1323 and 1324, must be applied. So in other words, whether the sin of schism is present and excommunication actually occurs, we have to look at Canons 1324, 1323, and 1324, which exonerate everyone, including the bishops, because they give provisions for acts done out of necessity. Even if a state of necessity does not exist, the person just thinks there is. Canon 1323 says, no one is liable to a penalty who, when violating a law or precept, and we're going to go to 4, acted under the compulsion of grave fear, even if only relative, or by reason of necessity or grave inconvenience, unless, however, the act is intrinsically evil or tends to be harmful to souls. 7. Thought, through no personal fault, that some one of the circumstances existed which are mentioned in 4 and 5. Canon 1324 says the perpetrator of a violation is not exempt from a penalty, but the penalty prescribed in law or precept must be diminished or a penance substituted in its place if the offense was committed by 5, one who was compelled by grave fear, even if only relative, or who acted by reason of necessity or grave inconvenience, if the offense is intrinsically evil or tends to be harmful to souls. 8, one who erroneously but culpably thought that someone of the circumstances existed, which are mentioned in Canon 1323, points 4 and 5. Squiggle 3, I don't know what that thing is, but in the circumstances mentioned in Squiggle 1, the offender is not bound by a laete sententia penalty, but may have lesser penalties or penances imposed for the purposes of repentance or repair or scandal. So, the Code of Canon Law specifically says that if a person does something out of necessity or even thinks that a state of necessity exists, they are not subject to a laete sententia penalty. The declaration that was issued says all of this is laete sententia. You get where I'm going with this? Code of Canon Law says if it's done out of state of necessity, you can't impose a laete sententia penalty, but all the penalties that are mentioned are laete sententia. That's why I say none of it's real. So in the end, there is no substantial difference between now and 1988, other than maybe the priests and religious have officially been excommunicated, but I'm not even sure about that. For the faithful, there is no difference. The Dicastery points to the very document meant to explain which lay people incurred excommunication from the 1988 consecrations, which points to the codes in canon law that make all of these excommunications invalid. That's my take on this. Keep in mind that all of this is coming from Fernandez, who is on record that he believes all men are saved. Okay, then what's the point? And that the penalties of the past, when the church barred people from communion and penance, was immoral. And Pope Leo, who said just weeks ago that he is more concerned that people have religious freedom than sexual immorality. Well, where is our religious freedom, Pope Leo? I don't believe in religious freedom, but he does, but apparently only for actual schismatics, heretics, and heathens. And why is denying us communion and penance not immoral, Cardinal Fernandez? For actual heretics, schismatics, heathens, and sexual deviants, mercy! But for those of us who want the authentic faith, we get the book thrown at us. Do you see how absurd all of this is? I mean, honestly, at least Francis was consistent in his belief in all this by extending it to the SSPX. Do you see why a state of necessity does indeed exist? Until my next video, God bless.